Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on AFR. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. And Ed's out. Ed Battagliano. Hopefully, Ed will be back Wednesday for the program. Will Ray Pritchard be here tomorrow?
He will. Okay. Tomorrow and Thursday.
All right. We hope that you'll check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. Check it out there. We also have the program available for a podcast, right, Walker?
That's right, AFR.net. You can listen to the podcast. We'll have it up this afternoon after the show, and you can listen to the podcast.
Do you have to have a pod to listen?
You know, that's a good question.
If you don't have a pod, can you get the cast? Do you know that?
Well, it's one word, podcast, so I would think it's one object.
Okay, so yeah. The answer is you don't have to have a pod.
No.
You can just listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. You mean look up the definition of podcast?
Yeah, if you would there.
Okay. I think that's what you're getting at.
I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
I think that would be helpful.
Steve, you have something to say?
Steve Jordahl's here with us.
Yeah,
Steve?
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
In the original Greek, I believe podcast means waste of time on the internet.
Is that what it means?
I'm pretty sure. That's what Paul meant. That's what Paul meant when he wrote it.
Well, here's the definition.
First opinions.
The
yeah?
Noun uh-huh. is of podcast.
Yeah.
Is a digital audio file made available on the internet for downloading.
So that's what we do?
Our mobile device.
Okay, so.
That's right.
If you want to, it's simply said podcast. If you want to access the podcast there, go to website, AFR.net.
Yes, sir.
AFR.net. Check that out. But we're live video and audio streaming. If you want to check that out, too, at Today's Issues on Facebook, send us an email at comments@AFR.net. comments@AFR.net. Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
All right, Steve.
I want to start by telling you what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, no doubt. We can't quite talk about it today yet because we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but President Trump is releasing the remaining of the secret files on the John Kennedy assassination today.
Wow.
Yeah. So
how long have they been?
Well, it's been 50 years.
Under lock and key.
55 years.
Mm. Why now? Is the time passed?
Well, every president has had the choice of whether to do this. There's a trove of documents, not only on this, but on many things that are secret, and the president can declassify things. And frankly, there's really nothing left of secret. Everybody, pretty much the primaries are gone by now. But the documents remain, and we don't know what we'll find in these last 1% of the files, but for some reason, they've been a secret until now, so we're going to find out if there really was a shooter on the grassy knoll, maybe, or...
Who will have access to this?
Everybody. He's making it public. I'm sure that someone's going to post them all.
Yeah. Huh. So maybe post it on the internet.
Somewhere on the internet.
Congress passed a law years ago, maybe decades ago, that said the JFK files will remain secret unless a president, you know, issues them to be released.
Right.
Okay, and President Trump has chosen to do so.
So, you know, we might find out that the CIA was behind the assassination or that there was shooters on the grassy knoll. All you conspiracy theorists out there, get ready, because, man, your pencils are going to be busy in the next day or so. I'm just saying, I don't know what's in it, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it now, but I just thought I'd tell you what we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
When President Kennedy was shot, and you talk to people of that generation, everybody knows where they were.
You want to know what's really interesting about this? You want to know somebody who was in Dallas at the time and was, I think, at the hospital when Lee Harvey Oswald was murdered?
Who?
Charlie Butts. Our own AFN's Charlie Butts.
Wow.
Does he talk about it?
He's talked about it to us a little bit. I mean, Charlie Butts is an amazing guy. He has been everywhere.
He's our own. He works for American
he
Family.
He does.
He works with you. He's a colleague of yours.
He's a colleague of mine, and I don't know that
but he
it would
lived
be
in
too
Dallas for a few decades, and he made,
yeah.
He was there at the hospital when Oswald.
I think he might have been. He was working in the media at the time, and
we have to get him to comment.
He has tons of fascinating.
I did
stories.
Read related to that, and this may have been known for years, but I didn't know it. That Lee Harvey Oswald, is that how you say it? Is Oswald?
Oswald.
He traveled to, I believe, the Soviet embassy in Cuba. You know, in the months prior to the assassination. What that means, I'm not sure. It may not even be connected to the shooting, but I find that suspicious.
Oswald's cause du jour when he was at the time that he assassinated the president was get the Kennedy administration off of Cuba's back. Free Cuba. Let the Cuban revolution happen. He was a communist, and so he liked Castro, basically.
Oh, so that was open. That was public. Everybody knew that.
Yeah, we knew this. Okay. We knew that he was a part of the pro-Castro forces here.
Who was the guy who assassinated Oswald?
Jack Ruby.
Okay, and he later died in prison.
He was a nightclub owner, and I don't remember how long, but yes, he's passed on.
But what was his... did they ever discover a motive?
Well, no one really knows that, as far as I know. The story out there is that he loved Kennedy and just was angry about this.
Right.
But this is where the conspiracy theories come in, is that he killed Oswald so that he couldn't tell that the CIA had hired Oswald to kill Kennedy because they also wanted to foment some problems with Cuba or some such. I don't know. It's a mess out there. But but that's this whole thing behind all these conspiracy theories. And by the way, folks, just so you know, I don't buy into them. I'm just reporting the facts.
Right.
Just reporting what's
out
there.
So. Where some theories are circulating, and just rightfully so, is over there in Las Vegas. The shooting two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, the timelines changed, it seems like a dozen times, but the gentleman, the security guard who was shot first, he's disappeared. He was on Ellen DeGeneres' show, and she asked him no tough questions.
No. Yeah.
She hailed him as a hero, never asked him a good question.
To be fair, she's not a journalist. It's not.
No, I understand
her,
that.
Her function. But yeah, he was set to appear at a press conference, and then like seconds before he was going to walk out, he ran and disappeared. I am not I'm not among the conspiracy theorists when it comes to something more nefarious than the obvious in Las Vegas. This is often what happens with news stories. Granted, this is a long time past the event for this to be happening, but you know how when news breaks, there's a shooting in Podunk, Utah, and forgive me, Podunk. And seven people are dead. And then you hear 20 minutes later, we've revised that only three people are dead and five are injured.
Right.
And this is the facts in a breaking news story are very fluid. And the facts in this investigation seem to be fluid. I was very much impressed with the chief of police in Las Vegas who was coming out with these news conferences and being very forthcoming with all kinds of information. But I think this is the flip side of that coin. He was very forthcoming, giving much more information than normally you hear about shootings and investigations. They usually keep it way under wraps. But I think, and maybe this is why they do, because as you get down and you start clarifying and refining and finding different things that conflict, you start resolving that. Stories change in investigations. What you thought you were was a fact here becomes a little bit less certain. And so this is, I think, what's happening in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We don't know why this deranged soul shot and killed these people. And I don't know that we ever will. People will be conjecturing about that for a long time to come. But I'm not sure that the security guard is part of the...
No, but at a minimum, we could get a correct timeline on the event.
Yeah, I think it'll eventually come out.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the show. I'm Tim with Walker, and Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com is with us. Next story, Steve.
I wanted to clean up, just finish out the discussion that you were having at the end of last hour about poor President Trump and how he's taking it on the chin. This was a speech that our good friend Congresswoman Maxine Waters, a Democrat from California, who is leading the impeach Trump crowd, she gave a speech on October 13th to the Ollie Forney Center. That's a place that is a pro-gay. It's actually a shelter that helps gay homeless youth in New York City. They're actually doing, the Ollie Forney Center is actually doing some good work. Congresswoman Maxine Waters was speaking at this event, and this is what she said.
Wow, what a moving evening this is. I am sitting here listening, watching, absorbing, thinking about Ali, even though I never met him. And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
That has the Secret Service a little bit interested, although I don't think anybody seriously thinks that
take him out.
Ms. Waters is going to grab a gun and go shoot the president, but that's what she said.
Well, that's what that expression commonly means.
It does.
Right.
Is take him out means knock him off. Kill him, right?
That's what it means. What
did she say? Did she?
She didn't explain it. It's just. It's just one of the latest.
Well, the cheers went up. But let me hear that again. Where is this again now?
This is at a New York City. It's at a hotel in New York City, I believe. It was at a event to honor the or to help the Ollie Forney Center. Forney.
Wow. What a moving evening this is. I am sitting here listening, watching, absorbing, thinking about Ali, even though I never met him. And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
What does President Trump have to do with raising money for this?
Nothing. It's just every... Yeah. It took her 20 seconds to get from what she was supposed to be talking about to Trump. And obviously she had a willing audience behind her. I mean, she's just preaching to the choir, as it were. So that was, you were talking last hour about...
Right. Well, this goes on every day. This kind of thing goes on almost every day from somebody in the Congress or in the media or in Hollywood They're talking about President Trump in this way. You could never get away with talking about President Obama in the way that these people talk about President Trump on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the people on the right can't dish name calling out too. That does happen, but I'm just saying the vitriol and the hatred and the name calling and from the left against President Trump, unfiltered. It's just outright hate for the man.
And I think what you just said about President Obama, I think it's demonstrable too, because he was president for 8 years. And let me tell you, there are few people in conservatives and specifically maybe evangelicals who disliked a president more. Or less, whatever. They intensely disliked President Obama. They disagreed with everything that he did. And yet someone like Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, was the first to say, well, he has raised his family. He's a good man. We could, pointed out some positives about the fact that he was married to one woman, had kids, and that seemed to be going well, and you never heard anybody.
But listen, the left in this country, they advocate violence towards a man, toward the president.
And you never heard that from conservatives.
You heard
Obama.
This Kathy Griffin, comedian.
Yep.
Part of her routine was, having a bloody severed head of President Trump. Remember that?
It wasn't a part of the routine, but it was an ad or one that she did. She did that once.
She did that. Okay. She did that. Madonna at that women's rally, so-called women's rally.
On the mall?
On the mall. White House.
The day after the inauguration, she says, I can tell you I've thought about going over here. How many times I've thought about going over here and blowing up the White House.
Yeah.
This Eminem character, the rapper, he has evidently some of his newest rap. I don't pay attention to that, but he's very big in pop culture. And evidently he's got something out now.
It was a video that was taped of him ad-libbing. It's not recorded.
But it's against Trump.
It's vile against Trump.
Okay, vile against Trump. That's what I'm getting at. It's not even anything of disrespect for our policies or anything like that. It's just Snoop Dogg, same thing.
Yeah.
It's you listen to people like that. What's that chef's name who travels the world?
Bourdain.
Yeah. He said he'd like to poison the president.
Right. Who was it that the politician that recently said, Holder said he was now joining the resistance?
The resistance.
Eric Holder.
Maxine Waters right there, congresswoman, is talking about taking the president out. And she gets cheers, wild cheers from her audience in New York. I mean, if whatever you want to say about President Trump, let me tell you something. The people on the left are awful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a wonder he doesn't say more than he does.
Yeah.
Talking about President Trump. Yeah. In response to this, and then when you got all this attacks coming at you, and President Carter, to his credit, Jimmy Carter said that President Trump is the most mistreated president he can ever remember, right, or most unfairly treated. That's when you.
By the way, it came out also in that same exchange that the Carters did not vote for Hillary Clinton in the last election. They voted for Bernie Sanders.
I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know
thing.
Either.
Well, that fits, that fits their very liberal politics. It's based on, you know, very, very socialistic worldview, especially when it comes to economics. All right, today's issues is the program you're listening to here on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Steve, next story.
We keep talking or hearing from outlets, news outlets like One News Now and others on the right are really pursuing this Uranium One scandal that seems to be blossoming now and fleshing out to be some really sad stuff. And I know, Walker, you've been following this as well as I have. You can't see this on the radio, but I tried to do a graph connecting all the dots.
Wow.
It's just a mess of, if you're watching on Facebook Live, it's just a mess of stuff there that just, it's incredible. But the latest thing that came out, this is from the Daily Caller, and over the weekend they talked about a CIA or an FBI investigation into something they codenamed Ghost Stories. And basically, Ghost Stories was the spy ring that was starting to infiltrate the State Department. And they were going after high-level State Department people. And they apparently got so close to Hillary Clinton that the FBI had to terminate the investigation and just arrest the people that they knew. They had to do this because instead of working the people that they had investigated and knew were spying, what generally the FBI will do apparently is they'll bring them in, say, "Hey, we caught you. Give us the names of your of who's controlling you in Moscow. Let's investigate this. How deep does it go?" But they immediately arrested 10 of the spies, and they did this in June of 2010, and it was right before, just before Hillary Clinton and the group that she was with okayed the sale of 20% of our uranium output to the Russians. And then, according to the Daily Caller, Hillary Clinton worked feverishly, I'm reading here, to return the Russian agents to Moscow in a hastily arranged, lopsided deal with Putin. She wanted this thing done, swept under the rug, apparently, so that no one could know about this spy ring that got to her, what some of her closest advisors, and she cleared it the way so that she could sell the uranium, which in turn legitimized the speech that Bill Clinton gave to this bank that was connected with the Russian people that bought the uranium that got Bill Clinton $500,000 and netted the Clinton Foundation millions. And by the way, one other thing, Walker, I don't know if you saw this. Apparently, the Clintons were taking donations to the Clinton Foundation Canada.
Hmm.
Now, in Canada, you don't have the same requirements
right.
of reporting cash because it's not a political organization up in Canada. And that's the way, according to some news outlets, that they hid some of the money that they were making for the Clinton Foundation from this Uranium One deal.
Sounds like we need a special counsel to investigate collusion between Hillary Clinton and the Russians.
You think that there... well, and this is the thing, and this is why people are a little angered at the whole Mueller thing. Mueller and Rosenstein were neck deep in the deal that sent our uranium to the Russians.
Right.
They were in the FBI. Mueller and Rosenstein were working this investigation into this ghost spy ring. They were heading it up. And so they were the ones that called for this to be ended. They were the ones that arrested and then shipped out the 10 spies, although they didn't do the deal. That was up
right.
above them even. So there's just all kinds of stuff going on. And what's really amazing is that if you look at CNN, if you look at the New York Times, NBC, the Washington Post, the any major news outlet that's the mainstream media, you will read nothing mm-hmm. about this. You will still read them trying to find some Russia-Trump collusion nonsense.
Right.
You will read that, but you will read nothing about the Uranium One deal.
It was a complete media blackout on this Uranium
Still
One
is.
Deal last week.
Still is.
Yeah.
Well, I know NBC, it was NBC basically said this was a discredited story from several years ago. That's the reason they weren't covering, talking about
right.
that. But the all the connections to the Clinton Foundation and Bill Clinton get $500,000 for one speech,
yeah.
twice what he normally gets
mm-hmm.
in Russia, and then evidently beating with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All that, anyway, we know the reason that the liberal media is protects the Democrats.
And, yes, they do.
And that's the reason we need alternative media sources. What else you got, Steve?
Just one last item, and this is going to be from our Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake, my pretty little snowflake.
It looks like Georgetown University is coming down hard on one of its student groups. Georgetown, a Catholic university, is coming down hard because this group called Love Soxa advocates for marriage between a man and a woman. Catholic doctrine, by the way. And they're being...
The school's going after
them. School's going after the student group because...
It's a Catholic school who's going after a group that believes in Catholic doctrine.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, the Pope needs to intervene right here.
I think we
I'm sure he will. He'll get right on that.
Yes. Huh?
Only question, well, I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to refrain.
Good for you, Tim.
Yeah, I censured myself right there. All right, we shall see you tomorrow, folks. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio on behalf of Fred, Walker, and Steve. You have a great day. Keep listening to AFR, and we shall see you tomorrow.